Morning, everybody. So, my name's Tim Rhodes.
Hi.
I've known some of you for a while. I've been in the Illinois Conference since the mid-1980s and have served two churches in the Illinois Conference, and it's a great pleasure to be with you this morning. Let me get the ad out of the way, and then I'll throw the Holy Spirit on you, okay? Consacra Housing Network. Can you say Consacra? It's a shortening of the word to consecrate. By the way, you did that very well. In the Southwest, they say consecra, which has a beautiful round O and a trilled R. Oh, and my friend, the Reverend Dr. Bernice Powell Jackson, says she likes that it ends with an A because that means it's feminine. So consecra. Consecra is the word shortened consecrate, and the reason that we got it is because you could get the URL, right? There's a place on the web for us. And consecra provides affordable housing to disabled adults and seniors. That's very consecrated work. And we, as consecrated employees of Consacra, are always glad to serve God. And we serve the very, very poor. These people live below the poverty level. There are two properties that we manage and own here in Downers Grove. Can anybody name them? Peace Memorial and Emmanuel. Very extra points for you. Good job. Thank you very much. So Peace and Emmanuel are a couple of our properties. We have some in the suburbs, a good number in the city, as well as downstate. And then we're also in Florida and Missouri. Consacra.org is a place to check us out on the web. You may know us as the Bensonville Home Society. Some of you are maybe old enough to remember us as the German Evangelical Orphanage and Old People's Home, founded in 1895. No? Yeah, no. And then Lifelink. Lifelink was our most recent name. You know, when you've been around for 117 years, it's helpful to change your name every once in a while just to keep everybody guessing. So that's what we are. We are a sacred ministry of the United Church of Christ. We have been a ministry of the United Church of Christ since before the UCC, and it is our great pleasure to be in partnership with you. Some of you donate to our organization and help us provide that affordable housing for disabled adults and seniors. So our name is, and we provide affordable housing to, see, you guys passed the test already. Isn't that a great day? You've already, pop quiz, and you already passed it. Isn't that great? So food that perishes. So in the book of John, the people make reference to the manna in the wilderness. And there is actually a bread that appears with the dew in the morning. Not a sustainable bread, but it's a very, very light kind of snack that you can pull off of bushes if you're starving. And the trick is that it perishes by the afternoon. It will not last a day. And it actually exists out there in the Middle East, what we call the Middle East. Food that perishes. Now, you're probably not like me. You never have any chemistry projects that appear in your refrigerator, I'm sure. But we occasionally do. I have two teenage daughters. Stuff happens. And you know, they'll open it and go, ew! And then they throw it in the kitchen garbage. Got to go all the way out to the garbage can, right? Yeah. Usually wrapped in something hermetically sealed. But I made the mistake recently. Food that perishes. Now we have, how many of you pay taxes? Okay, thank you. Because we have the FDA, right? We have the CDC. And we generally do not encounter perished food. Yes? You think you do. Okay, so it's a chemistry experiment in your refrigerator. But you are not generally made sick by the food that you eat and out of your refrigerator, from the store, or from the restaurant. And that's because you pay taxes. Just saying. Me, I went to the store. We were having some guests over in the afternoon. I found out about it that morning. It was my job to cook that day. Woohoo! I love to cook, particularly for friends. And so I went to the store and I bought some chickens and I boned the chickens first thing in the morning. And then in the bag that they came in, right, in that little plastic grocery bag, because I forgot my reusable bags when I went to the store, I threw them in there, walked them right out to the trash can because we were running late for church. Don't want to make God wait. And I threw it in the garbage can in the garage about 2 weeks ago. Sunday. On a Sunday. I want you to know I did it at a holy time. What day do you suppose our garbage pickup is? Thursday. On Tuesday, my daughter said, "Dad, the garage stinks." And I went, "Oh, no." So I wheeled the garbage container, you know, where they get out into the backyard, away from the house, closer to the neighbors. And I wanted them to enjoy the experience as well. And sure enough, come Thursday, I went out with all the household garbage, right? Because, you know, you collect that and then throw it in. Flies everywhere. It was, right? Perished food. It took me 4 hours that Saturday. I left it out in the sun, open, you know, after we dumped the garbage. It took me 4 hours to get the stink out of that thing. Ooh. Still kind of... What food, what perishes in your life? What's Jesus talking about here? What is the food that perishes in your life? What have you done? What have you gathered up? What have you brought forward that rusts? I heard a country song this morning. I like country music. Most of it's miserable on purpose. But I like country music because, A, I can understand what they're singing, right? And B, it often tells a story, and I like story. And C, sometimes as I'm driving along, I find myself spontaneously crying because the story they tell is really great. And then, you know, you pull up at the light over here on Ogden Avenue, and you look over, and the lady's looking at you. And this said, this country song that I heard this morning said that which I've built up in my life now rusts. And what a magnificent metaphor. It just eked in on me. Because there it is, right? That which we build up in life rusts. Now, we're good suburbanites. We all have, policies that say how we keep our yards. And we're not allowed to put the car that we used to buy, right, that we used to have before we got the car that we have, out in the yard. How many of you do that? Just park your car when you're done with it out in the yard and let it rust? But you remember, that was a great car. You loved it. And now it perishes. There's so much that we gather in our lives that perish. How many of you are planning on taking everything with you when you die? Yeah. Good plan. If you want to write, see, it's Tim Rhodes, Naperville, Illinois. Put me in your will, and I'll watch it for you, okay? I'll probably go before you, but if I don't, I'm a winner. You can't take it with you. And there are all kinds of estate planners who will help you figure out what to do with it when you can't take it with you. But why do we amass so much when it isn't what lasts? Peace and hope. And love. These three abide. Yes? That the true treasure that we have are peace and hope and love. I've been a bachelor for over a week now. Yeah, wham, wham, wham. But I usually live with three women, my wife and two daughters. Don't get any weirder on me. And I miss them. Sometimes when they're here, I don't miss them so much. You know what I mean? Sometimes I wish they were gone or I was gone. But sometimes they need to be gone because absence does make the heart grow fonder. I'll disdain them by Tuesday. They're all coming home tomorrow. But those are the things that abide. Do you pay attention to the words or do you just sing them? They went by kind of fast this morning, which I appreciated because often church music sounds like a dirge. But for there is someone else living in you, for there is someone else dwelling in you. You, for there is someone else building his kingdom in you. Yes, you. In case you didn't get it, he said it four times. You, 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 you. There is someone living and dwelling in you, seeking to make you better, brighter, stronger. There's a picture of Reinhold Niebuhr on a magazine out on your rack out there, just to let you know that I actually pay attention sometimes. You know who Reinhold Niebuhr is? You ever go to Elmhurst College? How many of you have ever been on the campus of Elmhurst College? School we love, Elmhurst, live for A. God shed some grace on thee, me. Loyal are thy son. How come I'm the only one singing? Am I the only graduate? 1987. I'm older than that. Oh, Reinhold Niebuhr. Reinhold Niebuhr said that you he's a graduate of Elmhurst College. There's the connection to UCC school. Did you know that? If you attend a UCC church, you get money just for attending a UCC church if you go to Elmhurst College. Just saying. It's a good school. Didn't do too poorly for me. My grammar ain't too bad. Reinhold Niebuhr, great graduate and great theologian of the 20th century, read by every president since Franklin Roosevelt up through William Jefferson Clinton. And now Barack Obama. Just saying. And he said you should preach with the Bible in one hand and a newspaper in another. How many of you read newspapers? How many of you read paper newspapers? Yeah. Okay. The world is changing. And you may have noticed there was a little controversy about somebody named Kathy this week. Did you notice that? Kathy is who? He's the CEO of Chick-fil-A. I'm going to wade into this, and you get to pick sides. I'm picking God's side, I think. I'm never really sure. So, as I watch, so is this debate about chicken? Is it about marriage? No. Is it about the right for free speech and expression? Yeah, something like that. It's about the United States Constitution. So Kathy said something that he's since come to regret. How many of you have ever done that? I might be doing that right now, by the way. And he said something that he's since come to regret, but it was part of free speech, right? He is permitted to say that. And then everybody, I should go this way. Well, no, wait, this is your left. And everybody over here said, no, he shouldn't say that. We shouldn't eat at Chick-fil-A. Right? And then everybody here said, oh, well, of course he has the right to say that, and we believe in what he's saying, so we're going to eat Chick-fil-A. And then everybody here said, well, yeah, he kind of does have the right to say that, and they kind of have the right to say that, and we kind of have the right to say what we're saying, so we're going to go to Chick-fil-A and... Thank you. Kiss. I was hoping somebody paid all the way through attention. And I think everybody missed it. Because the founder of Chick-fil-A says that he believes in biblical marriage. How many of you have ever read the Bible? How many of you have studied marriage in the Bible? Yeah. It's tricky, isn't it? Yeah, right. So let me see if I... So I believe in, well, I want to experiment with this anyway because, you know, concubinage and polygamy and where the man can divorce and all of that. And it's kind of interesting, yeah? It would certainly shake up our culture if we actually followed the Bible there. And then if I die, I have a wife and I have how many daughters? There. And so I have no male heirs. So then my eldest brother, Tom, is to marry my wife, Cheryl, and impregnate her until she produces a male heir. Did you know that? How many of you believe in biblical marriage? Just saying. I understand. And the two shall become one, right? But be careful when you fight with the Bible, because there are always two ways to fight that. And usually you can win on both sides, which means that you've lost both ways. So this Chick-fil-A thing, I don't know where you come down on it. I think I know where I come down on it, but I just want to share something with you and see if we can think about it, and then you can donate money to my organization, which has no relationship to Chick-fil-A, by the way. Or, well, anyway, I think we missed it. How many of you saw coverage of this, of the buy a chicken, get fatter, eat mayonnaise Friday, Thursday? The first. You didn't see that? It had to have been Wednesday, right? Which I thought was Prince Spaghetti Day, but you'd think I'd had caffeine this morning. I saw these huge lines, yes? People in these enormous lines. And I'm sure most of them would describe themselves as good Christians. And I don't know how much a Chick-fil-A sandwich is. I've only ever had one. And I wondered if they donated the $5 cost of that sandwich to a soup kitchen, to a ministry that fed the poor, if we would be making a larger impact as Christians, if we did that. Then I looked over on this side in that Kiss a Chicken Day. Is that what it was? I don't remember what it was. And I wondered if all of those people, piously good Christians, went to a soup kitchen and took the $5 from the right and put it to work and gave the kiss of peace to those people who need that. If that would not be a better Christian witness. And as I was putting this together, weeding the gardens yesterday morning, it struck me that none of us doing that, that if we gave our $5, or if we to the soup kitchen, or if we gave our kiss of peace to the people in the soup kitchen, if we would feel half as pious. What bread? Bread that perishes, or the bread of life?